Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2, Selma Berkman and Estelle Kruman are interviewing Ben Fisher on February 2nd, 1977. Mr. Fisher, because you're such an important member of the Pittsburgh community, we've been asked to do an oral history interview with you. And what we're asking is about your family background. You yourself, and we would really like to know some of your contributions to the community. First, we'd like to briefly, as we could, go back into your family history. Could you tell us something about your grandparents to begin with, if you know?
I don't know my
grandparents. Well, that's all then. Do you have any recollection of being told anything about them?
I know my great-grandfather was the leading rabbi of Austria. Was the very
you know his name?
No.
And this is on which side, your mother or father's side?
That's a good question. How do I get the answer?
Oh, I see. And do you have any idea?
My oldest brother is the keeper of the records.
What city in Austria or anything of that sort now?
Did your parents come over to this country or were they born here?
My parents in Galicia.
Both.
Both. We had two children there. And they went to Germany early and briefly. I'm not sure just what that means.
Do you know the dates?
They gave birth to my boy who was the third in the family. He was 5 years old at that. When they came here, about a year after they came to New Jersey, I was born.
And what year was that?
1913. They're back. Uh-huh. In Berlin, that means about 1978.
What were your parents' names?
Herman. My mother's name is Selma Metzger.
M-E-T-Z-G-E-R. Do you recall anything about your grandparents?
Never seen them. They never came here. I assume they were dead when my parents came here.
What did your father do?
My father was a grocer.
In New Jersey also?
I don't really know. They weren't there very long. They settled in Richmond, Long Island.
So your elementary and high school education?
Richmond.
Uh-huh. And the names of the schools?
Richmond High School. I was the third male generation in that school without interruption. 12 years of my oldest brother, he left. My next brother, he left me.
I see. So the three boys. We're in the family. Do you have any sisters?
The oldest sister. All alive.
Their names?
Helen is my sister. Helen Robbins. She lives in Manhattan. Leo is my oldest brother. A sculptor. He was retired to Athens in the Albany. Bruno, who's in Croton on the Hudson.
Lives where?
Croton on the Hudson, which is in Westchester County, India. You're the writer.
have any...
Wait, were there others? Is that all just the three? And then you?
Do you have any recollections of your parents telling you about why they left? Or, I mean, any...
Oh, yes, everybody in my family left basically the way they drafted. Matter of fact, I'm dimly aware of the fact that my name was probably not my family name, was probably Fisher.
F-I?
S-C-H-S-M-E-L. The first brothers who came over here thought it was necessary to change his name because of the emotional fears.
Do you remember, were your family religious when you were a child?
I sure do.
And you were brought up in that atmosphere?
I sure was.
And besides going to high school, you went to a Hebrew school?
I went to a whole business.
Bar mitzvah?
Everything.
Uh-huh. What about Sunday school?
Confirmation. Then? It wasn't too significant. You could get confirmed, but nobody really cared except the rabbi. I eventually got thrown out of Sunday school. We were in an advanced group, post-bar mitzvah. We used to meet Wednesday nights. I asked some questions which disturbed the rabbi. He told me that I ought to go. I studied John Dewey. I don't know who John Dewey was. But I took his advice. It was the last I saw him or what was that.
And this was an Orthodox?
No. What we then called conservative, which is probably the equivalent of Orthodox. Now, the whole level of observance has kind of gone
now. Are your parents still there?
My father was. I don't know what his official title was.
So he was very much involved. Yeah, and your mother also was involved.
Well, my mother was a mother. She did what was appropriate to do. Kept the house kosher and so forth. She had appropriate Friday night dinners. Passover services. And food in the house and Yom Kippur, etc.
All right, now can you tell us something about the town you lived in Richmond Hill?
I did not get bar mitzvah. It's very dim. For some reason or other, I was bar mitzvah in Jamaica. We lived at that point, very close to Jamaica. And I can't remember the reason for it, but I drifted. I may have had to do with friends, I just don't remember. I drifted to whatever the conservative temple was in the region. It's bar mitzvah there. And that's a trouble. And my bar mitzvah speech, so at age 13, you want me to make a speech? I'll make a speech. Here is the speech. I said, I'm not making your speech, I'm going to make mine. We compromised. There was no speech. They wouldn't allow me to make mine. I refused to be theirs.
Can you tell us about the community, a little bit of Richmond Hill, where you...
It was basically an Irish-Boston community. A group. There were exceptions, but the core of the Jewish community was much less.
Were there many?
Enough, but very small enough.
What about in your own home? What sort of cultural life did you have? were your family interested in any of the cultural activities, music, or you all musical or anything?
We were relatively musical. But merchants in those days weren't interested in anything except keeping the store open. Mm-hmm.
But here you have a brother that's a writer.
6 days and 6 nights a week.
Mm-hmm. You have a brother that's a writer and one a sculptor, so something must have...
It could well be that my oldest brother was a sculptor. But my father was a Jewish scholar. And Jews generally were relatively literate, relatively interested in cultural things.
Now, you had your primary and secondary education in Richmond Hill. Did you go on to college?
No, I did not go on to college. At the time, I was getting out of high school. A girlfriend of mine took me to a meeting at her girlfriend's home. And it was a meeting of the Young People's Socialist League. I didn't know what that was. Out in the sticks where we lived, anything was exciting. So I ended up joining the People's Socialist League that night, as my brother did. And our community was a very significant event, even more significant than the fact that my dad had supported Al Smith, the president. It was quite a radical thing to do with my community. And, were informed that the members of the People's Socialist League could get scholarships at the Land School of Social Science, which was run by the Socialist Party.
How do you spell that? R-A-M-N-D.
Which is still in existence. It was run by Tamil, for a long time. It was really a socialist and trade union. So my brother and I both took advantage of this opportunity. He was writing and I was, when I got out of school, went to the men's school every night, and Saturdays worked in one of the family grocery stores.
Oh, so your father had a chain?
No, my father didn't.
Oh.
All my relatives. We were poor members.
Oh, your uncles were in the grocery business too, then?
Uncles, cousins. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever knew anybody who wasn't in the grocery business.
And this school was just at night?
Oh, this was an adult school.
How many years to go there?
3 years.
Now, when you left the school, did they you receive some sort of certificate?
I might have.
When did you say you worked for the grocery stores? At the weekends or during the day?
No, Saturdays.
Do you remember much?
I was prosperous. I made $6 a day. All night clear. I don't know whether I make that much. No rent, no food.
Do you remember anything about your adolescent years besides schooling and working, fun, recreation?
Well, from that period on, my life was entirely absorbed in socialism. As a student at Grand School, a leader of the Young Socialists, social life was around that, parties, dances and what lectures.
So then did you actually work for the Young Socialist
League? Then in 1934, which I suppose was 2 years after I entered the Young School, I became a candidate for secretary of the Young People's Socialist League of New York, which was top post on the European. establishment here. One. And we were kind of critical of the old timers who were running socialist movements. This was during the days of Mars.
What
Lewis
name did
Waldman,
you just say?
Philpott.
H?
I-L-L-Q-U-I-T. Very
Morris, did you say?
Very renowned name.
And who else did you mention?
Lewis Waldman, who was barely still alive. Both of them have been reliable candidates for mayor of New York.
Now, these are the people that you were against, the establishment,
no,
you say?
I was young. I was supposed to be against this. And then I continued in that post while going to school, doing all kinds of other things I can probably recall for 2 years. And then became an anti-establishment candidate for the national secretary of the Social Security. And in the city of Pittsburgh, I was elected.
I'm here.
This was in the days of Milton Weisberg and his dad, the beard, whose name I forget, Ben McTeague. He was head of the Jewish Daily Forum bank. And folks in the roofing business.
Ronnie? Were they in the Socialist Party?
Mm-hmm. He's been active in the community, still is. Oh, you know, his son is taking over the business.
It'll come.
On the north side, coming on the
way. Yeah.
Is Milton Weisberg with Pittsburgh?
Yeah, he was killed here in one of the deal accidents. He was trading information. But he was one of my backers. We upset the establishment. Moved to Chicago. I just got married. Chicago was the headquarters of the socialist movement.
And the name of your wife, please?
Anna. H-A-N-A.
How do you spell that?
H-A-N-A.
And her maiden name?
Geiger. G-E-I-G-E-R. She came from a family of middle trades workers, members of the IOGW.
And you met her in Chicago?
I met her in the socialist movement.
Was she Jewish?
She was in the grand school as I was. And we did what was almost improbable. We got married. Now that sounds casual. But in all of the circles, Mr. Costley debate of marriage was an antiquated institution.
We're still talking about that.
we went through a long period of forgetting about it, but now we can revive this conversation.
And did you have children?
We were very busy. She was working for the textile workers and IOGW and various other unions. I was a full-time socialist. We had no time for nonsense like raising the family. And in 1900, and we kept dotting. We went to Chicago and then we went to Detroit where I worked for several years. Headed the Socialist Party there during the formative days of the Auto Workers Union. In fact, that's when I went there. With most of the leaders whose names you know of the Auto Workers Union within Socialists, doing water with the United Workers Party.
Leonard Woodcock.
He's the current president. And then we went back to New York. We working for the Socialist Party. And most of this period, I worked for the Socialist Party. I've grown my youth. And then I went to work for the Bloomin' Workers of America. They reported in McKinsey.
You went there to McKinsey?
In 1941.
Is this, you say Kensington?
New
or
Kensington.
New Kensington.
Here, right near here. And what were you doing for them?
I was the research director of the Women Workers of America. I lived there, had my two children. So
what?
Real conservative enough to raise a family.
And what are their names?
Susan, S-U-Z-A-N. Karen, K-A-R-E-N. And after a period of time, almost accidentally became active in the Jewish movement, which was the time of my early teens, between my early teens and then, hiatus. No connection to Jewish activities.
Now, was this in New Kensington, the Jewish community?
Some of my friends invited me to a social event at the time, the time.
The name of that temple, do you recall?
I do not. And while I was there, the rabbi, love dearly, I can't remember his name, which embarrasses me. I was introduced to him. He said, do you live here? I said, how long have you been here? Whatever it was. So that's strange. I've never seen you. I've never come here. I'll come. He said, I'm agnostic. Affected an immediate conversion. I was completely floored. I don't get floored either. So from that minute on, we were fast friends. Ended up with the board of the temple. And then he left to go back to Canada, where he originally came from, a great Jewish scholar, a novelist. I was chairman of the committee that arranged going away tribute, just a little dinner and whatnot. And my last, during the period I was in New Kensington, aluminum workers became part of the United Steel of America.
Do you remember when that was?
1944. Project, the war housing project, I lived in a room in City Terrace, was being disposed of by the government. And I was asked to be the president of the tenants group, which was interested in purchasing it as a cooperative. Thank you. with it. Very complex situation. Long enough to have the campaign of the Democrats take over and attend it for the first time in history. And you know, it was always a Democratic city of Glenbrook.
And what was that capacity as the head of the Democratic?
I was the campaign manager. And it got involved technically in the Democratic parties. And I ran two campaigns. It took 3 years to take over the town. Because they had staggered elections, third class cities. After that was put in place, it was just north of Ryan and Pittsburgh. And we went through the traumatic experience of some of our neighbors saying, join our temple. And for the first time in my life, I walked into a temple without a hat.
Which one did you go to?
Sinai. I can remember it as if it was yesterday, the trauma that it stayed. Despite my background, radicalism, atheism, agnosticism, and everything else, walking into a temple with a hat was quite a...
Bothered you?
Did bother me. It was a traumatic experience, whatever that means.
You're still associated with that temple?
I stayed in Temple Sinai, not too long after my wife died. Last year, the recommendation of her doctors from Chicago, she eventually was treated with fillings in Chicago, the insistence of the Arthur Goldberg and the great store owners who organized the American Cancer Society in Chicago, they got their heads together and said, some point they stay there. So you have to stay there or go to New York or go to Washington. In fact, my last conversation with Philip Murray was from a lobby at Billings Hospital, which is the University of Philadelphia Hospital, telling him that I had to leave my wife. Thank you.